How are you? Welcome to the Drive Podcast. My name is Ted Henley. On the podcast today, Alberta returning back to normal when it comes to net migration. It's the third quarter in a row now that more people are moving here and staying. What this means for the economy right now and what signal it sends to investors, that's coming up today on the podcast. Off the top of the podcast, what happens now after the overturning of Roe v. Wade, lifting the federal right to an abortion in the United States? Roe versus Wade, the 1973 landmark court case overturned earlier today. Actually, it was officially overturned earlier today. Leaked documents a couple of weeks ago signaling that this was going to happen, but it officially has happened. Right now, though, I'd like to welcome Betsy Jamieson to the Drive. Betsy is a historian and an abortion rights activist. And Betsy, thank you for making time for us this afternoon. Betsy, I understand you grew up in the United States, right, before Roe versus Wade. What was that like back then?
Right. Well, I'm 75 now, so abortion became legal federally with Roe versus Wade when I was 25. And what it was like was that beginning in 1967, you could get abortions in some states. Before that, between 1910 and 1967, and notice that's only 57 years, abortion was illegal in every state. That's the only time that it was illegal in every state. But throughout history, in the United States and elsewhere, when women have had no other option to control reproduction, they have sought abortions. And what happened when it was not yet legal in the United States was that wealthier women could go out of the country or for a brief time to some states where it was legal, and pay a great deal of money to have a safe abortion, usually from a doctor who was willing to perform it for a fee. But all other women, poor women and women of color, and little girls who had been raped by their fathers and other women who had been raped, either had to carry an unwanted pregnancy to term, which meant often that they dropped out of high school if they were young. They didn't go to university. They didn't. They worked three or four jobs to support a child they couldn't afford on top of the children they already had. It was quite difficult. Or they tried to induce an abortion on their own, or they went to a back alley abortionist and had a painful and often very dangerous procedure, and many women died.
Yeah, and so Roe versus Wade passes federally. It's now legal in the United States to get an abortion.
In 1973, the
Supreme Court 1973,
and upheld that decision. Yes,
and we fast forward to today, Betsy. And what was your initial thought when it happened? I guess we could probably get your thoughts about when it was leaked a couple of weeks ago, but officially it happened today. What was your initial reaction?
Well, it was not a surprise, although it was a shock.
Yeah,
American right and fundamentalists had been paving the way for today for some decades, beginning with right-wing attempts to take over state legislatures and then disenfranchise some voters and gerrymander districts so that they held disproportionate power. This has been going on since the 1970s, along with a longstanding campaign and debate about the right of a woman to make this choice. I believe in the right of the woman to make this choice. I believe women who don't believe in abortion have every right not to have one. I would hold their right not to have an abortion if they don't want one. So I'm today remembering what it was like 50 years ago. I'm remembering all of the young women who, early in my career, when I was one of the very few women on university campuses, so women who were in trouble came to talk to me, even though I wasn't a counselor. And I listened to many women go through this very difficult decision. No one makes, you know, no one gets up in the morning and says, hey, I think I'll go have an abortion today. It's always a difficult decision in my experience of every woman I've known through the decision. And I knew women who had illegal abortions, and I know how painful that was. So I'm remembering them, and I'm angry and I'm discouraged, but I'm also quite stubborn and quite determined. And I'm a historian, and I know that people will organize to assert their rights again.
Yeah. Is that what you're holding on to, that last point there, that people will organize?
Sure. I mean, you introduced me as an abortion activist. I'm not, I mean, I went to some abortion rights rallies over 50 years ago. I never imagined I'd have to, in my 70s, address regaining the rights that we fought for so long ago. But I think it's important. You know, I think if people don't want abortions to happen, then they can help fund adequate sex education. They can make contraception easy and available. But the reality is that that will not do away entirely with the need for abortions, because contraceptives fail and rapists almost never use them. And Lord knows incestuous predators don't worry about impregnating young girls. And in those cases, or the case of the health of a mother, often we are going to need to rely on abortion. And the Supreme Court decision today enables any state that wants to, as is the case in Mississippi, which brought the original case that led to this ruling, it allows them to ban abortion in all cases, to force a 12-year-old incest victim to carry her brother or sister to term, to force the victim of a rape to carry that pregnancy to term and see the face of her rapist in her child forever. And I could go on. I mean, for all those reasons, we're going to have to work very hard in the United States to elect people who will enact federal laws to guarantee these rights. And in Canada, be very vigilant to protect the right and to welcome those women who may need to cross the border to make their own reproductive choices.
Yeah. Betsy, thank you so much for your perspective this afternoon. I do appreciate your time, and I do appreciate your thoughts on this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. That's Betsy Jamison, a historian, abortion rights activist. She grew up in the United States before Roe versus Wade came into effect in 1973. She was 25 when that happened. And clearly, she's disappointed with what has transpired today. For the hoot, a chance for us to focus on Alberta economics. Rob Roach joining us once again. Rob is the deputy chief economist and managing editor of ATB Economics. Rob, thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm doing well, Ted. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You want to talk about interprovincial migration, and apparently Alberta posted another gain.
Yeah, so it's some good news. You know, building on some other good news for the Alberta economy recently, and that is that more people have either been staying or moving to Alberta than vice versa to other parts of the country. And that's a good thing, because population growth helps stimulate the economy, but it's also a sign that people are confident that the economy is doing well. So when we see these positive interprovincial numbers, it's a good sign that something good is happening on the ground with our economy.
Okay, it's the third quarter in a row now. What types of numbers are we looking at when it comes to, you know, I guess net gain of people staying or coming here?
Yeah, so the most recent quarter, which was the first 3 months of this year, we had about 5,351 more people coming or staying in Alberta than leaving for other parts of the country. Over the three quarters, so going back to the middle of last year, over that period, we've gained about 13,000 and change. So, you know, a significant number of people, it has a, you know, an impact on the housing market, on retail sales, and confidence, like I said earlier.
Yeah, no kidding. And I'm guessing that this must be the first time we're seeing such a positive a migration outlook for Alberta since the, you know, the mid-2015, 2016 recession, right?
Exactly. So it's quite a positive turnaround. Really, you know, we've had a few months or a few quarters where we did get above zero into positive territory. But really, since about 2015, we've been losing people to other parts of the country. So it's great to see, you know, three quarters in a row. That's a bit of a streak.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not just a blip. And we are anticipating, actually, that it will continue because Alberta's economy is doing pretty well.
Yeah, so is that what you're guessing? You're guessing that we will get more people, net people staying here just because our economy is showing so many positive signs?
Yeah, that's our forecast for 2022. You know, Alberta's just, you know, we're kind of back a little bit here in terms of our economic performance, and people hear about that and job opportunities and affordable places to live. And, you know, Calgary, top three or top of the list of the economists' livable cities. So all those things bringing people here, which is great.
Yeah, it is great. Good stuff. Thank you, Rob. Have a good weekend.
You too, Ted. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. That's Rob Roach, the Deputy Chief Economist and Managing Editor of ATB Economics, talking about how for the third quarter in a row now, Alberta posted a net gain from interprovincial migration. Hey, I'm Ted Henley. Thanks for listening to The Drive Podcast. Please tell your friends about what you're hearing. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe. This podcast, of course, is free wherever you get your favorite content. If you want to hear The Drive with Ted Henley live, then please tune in or stream the show weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on Global News Radio 770 CHQR.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.